tell them I'm coming, and Jason's coming with me. You hear? Jason's coming with me.
Back stands in the corner where the barrels are straight. I look out the window and over the gate. The big fat rabbits are jumping in the grass. Wait till they hear my old shotgun blast. Shotgun boogie.
Hi, I'm Coke Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail, tonight you'll be in the pot. Gun boogie, draws a beat so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
We'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Well, American man.
God bless America.
I'll be an American where at least I know I'm free.
American girls and American guys will touch your ass.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took the cross.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for the Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on the Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, lymph wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is Tuesday, the 10th of June, and we're sorry about last night. I was on the road. I was coming back from Schatz Ranch, and I had every intention of being here in time to do it, and I just wasn't, and I'm sorry about that. I had a lot of stuff we want to share, so we're going to have a pretty full night tonight, but we had a good weekend. We had Casper Mountain and and M. Jantz out of Oklahoma. These are folks that have listened and followed the Shooting Bench listeners for a long, long time. That was the only two Shooting Bench listeners we had there. We had a couple other guys that took a three-day armors class, the Ultimate Armor class is what it was. And armor might be a little bit not misleading, but not exactly what everybody would think of as an armor. I just decided to name it that because it's my class and I can name it whatever I want to. The Glock class, we had field armor on the first day and Glock armor on the second, and AK-47 on the third, AK-47, 74, Galil, so on and so forth. And the first day, the field armor, we went. It actually came off pretty. This is the first time we've offered this class, and it came off pretty good. We went through a whole bunch of different types of guns, and the idea behind the armors class, the field armors class, is that when someone gets out there after a poop hit the fan situation and just finds a gun somewhere, they've found an old abandoned house and all the people around it are dead or gone, or they found one hidden somewhere or something they've never seen before. By the time we get through with the field armors class, you should have some basic idea of how to operate, maintain, disassemble most, at least partly, conventional individual firearms. So we spent a lot of time on a lot of different tricks, a lot of expedient ways to do certain things, maintenance tricks and whatnot, and expedient tools, expedient cleaning supplies, and things that you can just find out in the woods, in a garage somewhere, you know, what to look for. So hopefully the concept behind this, that they would, not that we can solve every problem or take care of every single gun in a one-day class, we're hoping to plant a seed so that you'll be able to help yourself, you know, more or less. And then the Glock armors class is very much an armors class. We've done that many times, and it has turned out to be very well received, as it was this weekend. Matter of fact, the two guys that took the class said that any one of the classes would have been, well, as a matter of fact, I see one of them in the chat room there right now, said it would have been well worth the trip for just any one class, and they stayed for all three. So I was very pleased with that, and I appreciate them, and they're good friends, great students, and we had a good time all weekend. And the Glock armors class, we went through every conceivable thing that can possibly that you can do with the Glock, and including a lot of modifications and repairs and things as such as that, and interchangeability. And then on the third day was the AK-47. AK-47 is a very simple weapon, and we went through. We were going to go out and shoot a little bit towards the end of the day, but as it come around, it was about time to hang it up anyway, and I think everybody was tired, and we actually didn't make it out to the range with it. But it turned out okay. We still had a good full day good full day of training there, and it worked out well. So now we've got other stuff coming up here. We've got matter of fact, M. Jantz was actually in our very first long-range handgun class back in, hell, I don't even, it was 2007, 2008, I guess, maybe 2009, I don't remember, a long time ago. And 2009, there he is, he's paying attention. And he's wanting to do it again with a family member, so we're going to facilitate that by changing the schedule a little bit, and about mid-September, 1st October, somewhere in there, we're going, maybe late August, depending on everybody's schedules here, we're going to do the long-range handgun class in conjunction with the personal defense handgun class, so that they can make it worth their drive out here. And so as soon as we get that changed, we'll get the word out for everybody else, and maybe some of y'all can make it too. All right. The we do have a 4th of July deal coming up here at Schott's Ranch. If you want to go, I need to know if you're coming or not. It's not going to be just everybody show up. We don't want a free-for-all out there. We're going to have a good time. We're going to keep it at a manageable level. And it's going to be first come, first serve on rooms. And lots of camping, though. Great weather for camping. It's awesome out there. The nights are cool. As hot as it may get in the daytime, you still have nice, cool nights. And it's just a great place to camp. And so just let me know if you want to get in on that. And we'll make arrangements for you. We're going to have some shooting games and some kind of competition. It'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Fidel over 4th of July weekend. And it'll be just some good-natured fun and games, maybe some jackpot shoots. And it looks like we may have the opportunity to get some live music out there. Matter of fact, the live music, at least one of them, we may get two. One of them has already agreed to come. It's just that I need to let him know here within the next couple of days if it's going to be worthwhile. And Infidel, yes, I can get you in the same room. Demi, maybe 007 will come with you. Send me an email or something and let me know what you want to do, and I will make it happen because we're just getting this together, so it ought to be fun. We're going to have if you look up there, look up on the internet there and find Hogjaw. Hogjaw is the one that provides the background music, and I do it by permission for one of my sound bites out there, the one about the gun. Let me find this one right here. They're a great band, and we'll get them out there probably, not sure which night yet, probably for at least a couple of hours. Then we have another guy I haven't contacted yet. I'm not going to tell you who he is until I get an affirmative answer from him. He is one amazing individual, and we'll talk to him. Hopefully tomorrow we can get a hold of him, since we're got a go ahead on this activity. A little bit of short notice. Got right at 3 weeks here to get ready for it. And like I said, it's not going to be a huge event, and everybody in the world is not going to be invited. It's going to be a kind of an invitational type deal. So if you want to get on it, let me know so we can arrange lodging and all that. Infidel, absolutely. Yes, you can bring your daughter. Certainly, we absolutely encourage youth to come. I don't know how old your daughter is, but you're not very old, so she can't be too old. So let me know. Okay, good. Good deal. All right, and we'll, if you want us to, we can let me know. Call me sometime tomorrow, and if we need to make special arrangements for lodging or something for her, we'll let me know so we can get that taken care of. All right, there we go. I know we've got for Infidel and 007, you remember the bunch that came up from Tucson. Let me tell you about the bunch from Tucson. These guys are absolutely awesome. There's one guy there. I may have mentioned this on the show a day or two ago. I don't remember if I did or not. But there's one guy that is being... in the military. He's being sent to Japan. He's going to be gone for 3 years, and I feel for him because I have a strong hunch that poop is going to hit the fan way inside of 3 years, and I'm very disappointed that he's going to be there during that time because he may have a tough time getting back home. And he is an extremely rare individual. that if he walked up to me, come knocking on my door at 4 o'clock in the morning and said, Cope, get your gear. It's on. Let's go. I wouldn't ask a question. I'd get my gear, kiss the wife, and off we'd go. I would follow him into battle like I would George Washington. And so knowing that little bit of background about this guy, some of his friends here on M. Jantz, thank you, buddy, and I appreciate you coming out there this weekend at a good time, and I'm glad you think it was worth it for you. You had definitely had a long trip to get out there, so I'll keep you informed, or I guess actually the next informant that needs to be done is you tell me what all you folks' schedules are, and we'll see if we can change that around for you. So. Anyway, this guy is going to Japan. All of his buddies, and Infidel and 007, you know some of them, not all of them. But a few of them said, what can we do for you? You're leaving. First, they said, we need to do something for this guy before he goes. And they're saying, well, what do we do? Can't think of anything he would like. They said, well, hell, let's just ask him. They said, well, all right, we want to do something for you for your last hoorah. What do you want to do before you're sent to Japan? And you know what he said? He said, I want to go back to Schatz Ranch. That is my biggest goal, biggest thing I'd like to do before I go out, before I leave here. Which I thought was absolutely awesome. So we're going to make this happen mostly for him and his bunch. So we decided, well, 4th of July would be a great time. It's a month before he leaves. And we're going to make a happening thing out of this. So a few people will be able. There's Casper Mountain just came in. Good deal. Good to see you, Casper. Glad you guys made it home safely, too. So that's what's going on at Schatz Ranch for right now. We'll have incidentally, the next class of significance is going to be, no, not that any of them are insignificant, we just got a almost full class coming up on the 21st of this month, which is a multi-state concealed weapons class. And for June, July, and August, we're offering multi-state concealed weapons classes free for teachers and certain personnel that are directly interact with the kids in public schools. That includes teachers, janitors, school nurses, cafeteria workers, anybody that is right where the kids are all day long. Not the superintendent in the building across town, but in the school buildings. And we're offering that class for them for free. We know that most of them are not going to be able to carry guns in schools. There are a few states that allow that. Utah is one of them. And but we can get them properly trained, educated, get the proper information in their head so that when they're talking to their fellow teachers, they can say, look, it's not like that at all. Let me explain to you what I learned at Schatz Ranch. And with enough of that going on, if enough other places would do that, and we get enough teachers trained and educated in the ways of guns and gun law and legislation, who knows? We might turn things around one day and make it where it's nationally acceptable for teachers to carry guns to school. Or at least that we get more than one armed guard or policeman in school. Ideally, it would be a teacher. But, you know, let's before we get into the immigration thing and everything, let's talk a little bit about gun-free school zones. Now, this is BB Burner, let me check and see. I think the sound is okay. Let me check this real quick. Everything on both servers appears to be running pretty smoothly. Hang on just one second. Let me check something here. All right. Casper Mountain says it's better on the 32. Okay, we've got just checking all of our bases here, make sure we're covered, see what's going on. Hopefully this will, those of you that are having trouble, hopefully it'll get better for you. If it 64 doesn't work for you, usually the 32 runs a little bit better. If it gets much worse, I will shut down one of the servers and focus all of our energy here into one server, and maybe that will clear it up. Okay, let's for those of you that are new, I see we do have some new folks and people that haven't been on too much. So for those of you that are new, if you have trouble or you don't understand what we're doing, look on the where most of you would have signed on at justmeasurescs.com. If you go down to where the player is there, there are provisions there to click on. Either you'll have to stop one or the other. Don't try to run both of them. Don't pause one and try to run the other one. Well, you have to. You don't know a way to stop it. But you should be able to just move down right below the 64 is the another little player for the 32K server. So there we go. Now let's get back to gun-free zones here. I'm going to start this, and we're going to go to a break, and we're going to come back and talk about it some more. But we're going to do some immigration information also. Plus a bunch of other things. I'm way behind since I didn't make it last night. So, I put together quite an exhaustive deal here. I didn't spend the time on it that I would have liked to have spent, and I may tune it up and do it again at a later date. But I put together some stuff here about school shootings. Now, let me tell you how this is. The parameters were set by me. Every round that was fired in a school is not necessarily what I would consider a school shooting. The school shootings that we talk about are the ones where usually kids on Ritalin or somebody on drugs or somebody trying to make a huge political statement or something like it goes in and shoots indiscriminately and kills kids and administrators and everybody else. So that's my idea of a school shooting. My idea of a school shooting is not when someone takes away somebody's girlfriend and it pisses him off and he go get the gun and comes shoots him. That could have happened at any workplace or at any skating rink or football field or anything else. That's not what I consider the epitome of a school shooting. So that just kind of gives you a little bit of an idea of what we're going to get into here after the break. This doesn't count school bombings, which there has been some in the United States long, long time ago. It doesn't include knifings. It doesn't include any altercations or revenge of any kind. And doesn't include, some of them are a little bit gray, even by my own standards. I didn't include every gang initiation out there because the motives behind those things were different than the average school shooting, say, Virginia Tech, Columbine, Paducah, Kentucky, some of these other ones. They had very specific motives. So I'm not counting gang initiations. When I mention some of these numbers, some of you are going to try to be smarty pants, and you're going to go out there and try to look it up and prove me wrong. Well, I'm telling you right now, some of them are going to be wrong. So that's the parameters that I've set for this this world-class study that we're fixing to do here. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. That's my opinion, and you're welcome to it. All right. We're just a couple minutes early for the break, but we're going to do it anyway because I want to get started on this. It's going to be fun. So stay with me and be back. We'll be back here in 5 or 6 minutes here.
I'll be back.
Hi, this is Amy Reynolds inviting you to come see what it's like living way out here, new on Just Measures Radio. We'll talk about cooking, canning, gardening, and homemaking, along with storytelling and nostalgic journeys to yesteryear.
Join Amy every Monday through Thursday morning right here on Just Measures Radio Network for Living Way Out Here. 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific, 10 to 11 Central. Don't miss it.
And what I wouldn't give to ride around in that old truck with him. If heaven wasn't so far away, I'd pack up the kids and go for the day and introduce them to their grandpa.
Come.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Who the hell are you?
You know.
You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
Do what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Enemy is approaching fast, requesting orders. General, what should we do?
There's no response from command. Or from party leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. It needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Inevitable. Inevitable.
Inevitable.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We call them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we will stand for tyranny. Oh, he. And it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
between them when they stop to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
All right, we're back. Let's get started on this. Welcome back to the Shooting Bench. I put this list together. I was trying to figure out where to start. Looked at a lot of different websites and different places here, Justice Department statistics and whatnot. And so I decided to start in 1989 with the school shooting that happened in Stockton, California with the AK-47. Most of you guys are familiar with that. School shootings actually, believe it or not, go back to the 1760s. As far as anybody knows, one happened in the 18th century. In the whole 18th century, one happened. This was actually a little bit different. It was Pontiac's Rebellion. This was when four Indians went into a schoolhouse near what is nowadays Greencastle, Pennsylvania, shot and killed the schoolmaster and 9 or 10 kids there. Only 3 of those kids survived. So that was the first one that anybody knows about in the entire 18th century. In the 19th century, there were 5. One of those, a guy accidentally shot himself while he was hunting on campus. He was one of the students. He was the only one of very few students that were actually allowed to have firearms at school. This was in 1859. And a couple of these others were just out-and-out murders. They weren't actually a school shooting. Another one, a guy brought a pistol to school in the morning and killed the schoolmaster as revenge for what he thought was excessive punishment. So these were not your typical school shootings, but nevertheless, we had one in the 18th century, 5 in the 19th century, and then in the 20th century, things... that was in the 1850s. Yeah, there's 5 in the 1850s in that 10 years, 1860s. But almost all of these were either accidents. These were people that were shot at school. So they were either accidents, some of them suicides, some of them revenge. It wasn't what we typically think about when you talk about a school shooting. Now, the term school shooting has got to a point where if one person gets shot and 18 people get stabbed, it was still a school shooting. How come it wasn't a school stabbing? As is the case in this last one, not the last one, there's been several here lately. You're going to find out here, this is going to be an amazing eye-opener for you before we're done. Back in the early 20th century, there were a number of ones where, one described as a black-bearded maniac drew an automatic pistol, fired 5 shots into a crowd of Harlem schoolboys. The boys were taunting him, so he shot into the bunch of them. One of the boys, age 6, was hit in the heart and died instantly. Another one, age 6, shot through the left lung and critically wounded. So it's still a little bit different. In 1910, we didn't have gun-free school zones. It was absolutely wrong for this guy to do. Murder is wrong and against the law anywhere. But still, he had provocation here. Obviously, he should have walked away. You don't shoot into a group of boys that are taunting you. But he still had provocation. This was not an act of terrorism or anything like so many school shootings are these days. There's also one school shooting, and I don't remember when it was. I saw it earlier today. It was performed by a 6-year-old. Intentionally, the youngest school shooter in the history of the United States was 6 years old. This was a while back, but still in the 20th century. So, I looked at a few of these, and I started to go through the year after year after year, and I looked, and it was just going to be, it was going to take me till I would have been like 82 by the time I finished this, so I decided to change my format a little bit. And I started out doing it as how many shootings were there total in a year, how many were suicides and all that. Number one, it would have been very boring and taken a long time to get done. It would have taken me a long time to compile. I had, like in 1985, there were seven altogether, but one of them was a suicide. One of them was a multiple death with suicide. One of them was where a cop killed the guy who was about to do something. And there was only one out of seven that was actually a multiple kill, which you might consider a school shooting by our standards here that we're trying to set. So I backed up and decided I'd start this in 1989 with the, and believe it or not, that was the only shooting in 1989 that I could find anyway in Stockton, California. 5 dead, 32 wounded. And how convenient that shooting was. If most of us that are listening right now, most of us that will even listen to this podcast and everything later, a great many of us are of the opinion that the government or some faction of it are orchestrating some of these shootings and trying to create something that may not have happened had they not done it. And I think they're trying to keep things rolling here to their standards, to their satisfaction. And I very much believe that Stockton, California was one of those. It was way too convenient in Stockton, California for the legislation that was going through at the time and everything, trying to get their assault weapons ban going and all that. How convenient that this guy should take an AK-47 out there and murder a bunch of kids, which had not previously been done ever with that style of weapon. So, not in this country anyway. South Africa, you know, Cambodia and places like that, yeah. But not in this country. Everything that we're talking about today is in the United States. Infidel? I think that I was there for that class. Infidel said he took active shooter class in 2008. If you took it in 2008, I know I was there because that had to have happened at Southwest Shooting Authority. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, not too late. You're right here. He says he's starting to think that also, identify unstable people and keep nudging them until they snap. Now, I'm going to change that up just a little bit. I'm going to say I don't think they identify unstable people and keep nudging them. I think they create unstable people. I think they find somebody that will suit their needs, and either through drugs, hypnotism, coercion, bribes, threats, whatever the case may be, I think they create their unstable people to do their bidding. I don't think they will look around and wait for conveniently for somebody that is already a Fruit Loop and push them over the edge. I think they lead them up to the edge and wait for the right time. Not so unlike what back during and after Vietnam, the sleepers, as they called them, that they could set off with a phone call in a certain word that might activate this, you know, whatever they're doing there. So in 1989 there was one. In 1990, believe it or not, we had nary one, not even a single school shooting in the United States of America. Now, I have told people that there was not a school shooting prior to Clinton being in office. Well, that's not entirely true. There was a couple of very minor ones, and there was a lot of them that go way back. But most of them, as I said, a murder-suicide or something that was far outside of what most of us think is a school shooting. So what got me started on this today was there was one of our listeners had gotten on Facebook, and he I know what he meant, and he was absolutely correct. He said something about things escalating now that gun violence is going up. He's right, and he probably shouldn't use the term gun violence and use something like school shootings are going up. And I think that's what he meant. And later on, he come back and said, you know what, it wasn't my words. That was Barack Obama's words that said that where I got that. So all he was doing, he was being facetious and just using some of Obama's words there to make a point. And I understand that. So, and then another listener came back and said, disputed that. And so, make a long story short, it made me think, well, how much has it increased? It seemed like there's been so many in recent years, and there gets to be more and more and more. And, son, I'm going to tell you what, when I got through with this, you're going to be astonished at what happened here. So, in 1989, we had the one, 91, we had one, 92, we had two, 93, we had one. This is what I considered a school shooting. 94, there was two. 95, 96, 97, 98, four consecutive years, we had four. Now, in 98, there was actually six because two of them were disputes, but I didn't count them as my school shootings. In 99, there were five. And one was a guy who they determined, actually there were six, so one of them was determined to be bipolar, no injuries, fired a shot, was subdued, taken out. It didn't, a little gray, didn't quite fit into my school shooting scenario. In 2000, there were only two. There were two others, but they didn't fit my guidelines. 2001, there were four. And then in 2002, we dropped way down. I'm getting somewhere with this, guy, so don't go to sleep. In 2002, there were only one that fit my guidelines. There were two others. One of them was revenge, and one of them was a result. Remember the Beltway shooters in D.C. or Virginia, wherever it was over there? Beltway sniper, I think they called him. One of them was a casualty of them, a direct result of the Beltway sniper. So actually there were three in 2002. In 2003 and 2004, there were three. 2005, there were two. Staying pretty steady along here for now. 2006, there were six. There was actually seven. One of them didn't count. And I wanted to, it was important that I told you about this one that didn't count. I don't remember what the circumstances were that led up to this, but it did not fit a school shooting. He was shot after he had turned away, run away, whatever happened. He was shot 10 times. 10 times in the back with the 10 millimeter and survived. Now, don't ask me how that happened. But I wanted to throw this in here just to let some of you know. They talk about, oh, the 9 millimeter is just a 45 set on stun, or you got to have this, you got to have that. It's all about shot placement, folks. Shot placement and bullet construction. I'm guessing these were full metal jackets, missed all the vital organs in the spine, and as soon as they got some of the holes patched up and a little bit of antibiotics in him, he must have been just fine. He did live after 10 shots in the back with a 10 millimeter. 2007, only two. Now this is the last one before they start climbing. In 2008, coincidentally, this is the year that Obama was elected the first time. I don't know if there's any correlation or not. There were three that fit my guidelines. 9 total. In 2009, there were 4 that fit my guidelines, and 7 total. 2010, 5 out of 8 fit my guidelines. 2011, 5 out of 10. 2012, 7 out of 12. In the year of the Lord of our Lord, 2013, there were 31 school shootings. Just last year, 31 altogether, 18 of which fit my guidelines. That's a pretty good jump. 18 out of 31. Now, this is 2014 right now. It's June. We're not quite halfway through the year. Somebody just take a swag here and tell me about how many shootings we've had so far, whether they fit my guidelines or not. How many do you think we've had up to now? Half of this year has gone by. We had 31 last year, 12 the year before, 10 the year before that, 8 before the year that, 7 before that, 9 before that. Got 007 says 15. His Aviator says 10. Casper Mountain says 25. 18. All right, let me tell you what happened. Already at 6 months here, not too late was the closest, at 35, we have 31 school shootings so far in 2014, 15 of which fit my guidelines. And Palm Bay is absolutely right. The overwhelming majority of these shooters are liberals, not conservatives, that have gone or whacked out on some kind of behavioral drug or something like that. 15 out of 31. So far, we're halfway through the year. Okay. So I win. I win my deal on Facebook here. Yeah. Overall, general shootings, murders, general gun violence is down significantly. Now we still hear, yes, it will. It will continue to escalate. Absolutely, it must. But even they see the violence in Chicago and Baltimore and Detroit and Los Angeles and all these other places, big cities and stuff. Still, overall violent crime with a gun is like down, you know, like 40% or something like that. 49%, I don't remember what it was. But school shootings are going through the roof. They're absolutely going nuts. So, I want you to, and I'm going to keep this piece of paper. I've been working on this here for the last couple hours, trying to get this all worked out. And I'm going to hold on to this, and I'm going to try to remember at the end of the year to go back and check and see where we were at our six-month period. So, maybe some of you guys put it in your... If the world holds together here between now and December, some of you guys put it in your phone and give me a reminder. I'll put it in mine also for the sometime in the month of December, towards the end of December. I want to look and see what are school shootings. And this is, by the way, all of the latest ones, including... Now, this is not... You know, we've had, like, what, 4 shootings in the last 3 days. One of them was school shooting, but we had let's see, what was it, just today, on this very day right now, on June 10th, 2014, we had a shooting at a school. Yeah, right now today. It was up in Oregon. And it was included in this list, because the deal I'm looking at here is 100% up to date. We had one in, 5 school shootings in the month of May this year, guys. We had five in a month. We only had five in the whole damn 18th century. Of course, there wasn't as many people then either. Wasn't hardly no liberals either. So, but anyway, we had five in the month of May. May 4th, May 5th, May 8th, May 14th, and May 23rd. Now, it seems funny. May 4th and May 5th. Now, some of these you didn't hear about on the news. There's a lot of these that were, I guess, what they considered insignificant enough that it really didn't meet national news standards here. But on May 4th in Augusta, Georgia, one person injured, two men fired shots inside a dormitory at Payne College on Sunday, injuring one student. Neither of the suspects were students at the college. The very next day, at the same school in the same town, an active shooter situation reported. One person reported to be shot. Suspect was apparently apprehended in custody. Second shooting to occur in the campus in 2 days. Augusta, Georgia, Payne College. Look it up. 3 days later, Lawrenceville, Georgia. Person was shot in a student parking lot at Georgia Gwinnett College, receiving an injury. The specific cause not been identified. One injury, no deaths. And then Richmond, California, on the 14th of May. 14-year-old student injured during a drive-by shooting in front of John F. Kennedy High School, 8:30 a.m. Shot as he was running towards the school campus after a fight took place. Didn't fit into my standards exactly. That's one of those kind of gray ones there. He was shot in the leg. They're still looking for the guy that did it. May 23rd, we talked about the mass murder in University of California, Santa Barbara. Seven people killed, including the shooter, including the murderer. Three shot, three stabbed. It was a mass shooting. Or statting or something. I'm not sure. Anyway, the guy committed suicide at the end, like most of these cowards do. And then Seattle, Washington. Three people were shot inside a hallway. Seattle Pacific University. One died. The gunman was tackled by a student while he was reloading his firearm. Luckily, he didn't trade in Southwest Shooting Authority and able to reload in 1.2 seconds. June 10th, today, Troutdale, Oregon, two people killed, unknown number injured as this was written. I don't know what it is right now. 8 o'clock this morning, Pacific time. Shots were fired where? Reynolds High School. One student killed, gunman was shot dead at the scene. I don't know how many were injured. I'll have to look into that later. So, my stuff is pretty current here. Doc, I didn't know you could. I didn't know you couldn't put iTunes on a Linux machine. I thought it was just something you download. If it's a computer, it's a computer. I didn't know that. Well, that's too bad, because you could listen to the Shooting Bench on iTunes. But you can go to www.podbean.com and do the same thing, so that's okay. The Casper, we might do that. We might try to start with tracking stuff like what happened in Vegas. We're going to talk about that here in a minute, too. Things are going bananas here. Look at the shootings now. This is just school shootings we've been talking about so far. That doesn't even include the ones that's happened at other establishments here. We're going to talk about a couple of those after the break. But if we talked about all of them that's happened and expounded on them very much, we wouldn't get anything done. But right now, 31 shootings so far, first half of 2014, 15 of which fall into the Reynolds guidelines for school shootings here. So, you know, Doc, that's one of the things that I have told people. Most sane people aren't especially anxious to get in a gunfight. And usually insane people are usually not very good shooters. Now, there's a little bit of, for the most part, you're right. But let me tell you one thing before the break here, Do I want to do this before the break? No, I want to do this after the break, because we're going to talk about this for a few minutes. Keep me on task here. When we come back, we're going to talk about Doc's statement there a little bit. So stay with me. We'll be back here in a few minutes, and we'll continue on with this here.
That's what I said. James is darn good, but he's better, and I'm better than both of them. No brag, just fact.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron.
All right, we're back. One more thing I want to add about this this school shooting stuff. There's a company out there that is, I'm not going to say capitalizing, because I can see how it could be a useful tool, but they've invented these, it's not a matter of inventing, I guess they just created some bulletproof blankets. They're pads that the kids, in the picture on the deal here, it shows them crawling under these pads with in an active shooter situation in the school. Well, quite frankly, myself, my wife, my daughter, everybody around here thought that that was absolutely the stupidest thing anybody had ever seen in their life, in the manner that they're using it. Now, I'll tell you how I think it could be useful here in a minute. They're all these kids during a drill. They're all in the hallway, all hunched up in a vertical type fetal position, and under this little blanket. So, I'm guessing that the shooter is apparently supposed to walk up and shoot these kids in the back through the bulletproof blanket. Well, fact is, they're not completely bulletproof, but they're bullet resistant. The bad thing is that these things cost about $1,000 a piece. So they make it a little unlikely that most schools will be able to afford these. It's called the Bodyguard Blanket. Bright orange, bulletproof, and I can see how it could be of some help during natural disasters, you know, from falling debris and stuff like that, maybe. But, and if you were to move these kids down a hallway, there's handles on them where they can hold these blankets up beside them. And, yeah, I can see how they could be of some help. Now, in order to have enough for every kid in school, I don't know about that. That sounds a little unlikely to me. I was going to put this picture in the chat room for, but you can visualize a little blanket. It's about 18, 20 inches wide. I don't think it's quite 2 feet from looking at it. And about 4 feet. It may be 2x4. Hold on, Amy's enlightening me with her wisdom. Do what, babe? Let me go check here. Oh, yeah, many saw it. Yeah, you can still see the kids under the blanket. And they're bright orange. What do you think? The guy's going to walk down the hallway and say, huh, I wonder what all these bright orange lumps are laying in the middle of the floor right here. I've never seen those before. Oh, well, I'm too busy here looking for kids to shoot. I guess I won't worry about these things right now. I don't know what the hell they're thinking. But I can see how they'd be useful if they'd hold them up and say, all right, kids, we need to move in an orderly fashion down the hall. Hold this blanket up where, now, this would be hinged upon knowing which side of the hallway the bad guy was on or which way the bullets were coming from. Because if they're on the right side of the hallway and you're holding it on the left, then it's not going to work. So, I don't know. Anyway. But what Doc said a while ago, he come back and said, I said most. Well, I understand. I wondered about that. I almost, you know, during the Columbine, Virginia Tech I thought then, I wonder if that guy had a little bit of training. He was a little more calm, cool, and collected. He still wasted, you know, dozens of rounds that didn't hit their target, thank God. But I keep thinking, what will happen one of these days if someone who is well trained and has that degree of muscle memory which allows it to function fairly well, whether his brain is functioning fairly well or not, what could happen in that 7, 12, 30 minutes, 2 hour time period, whatever it may be, 3 hours in the case of Columbine? How many people could a trained shooter get? It's scary as hell to think about that. Matter of fact, probably the next video that you see from Southwest Shooting Authority at Schatz Ranch is going to talk about just those things. His aviator's trained with us, and he's darn good. What do you think you could do in 2 minutes? What I think you could do is shoot more ammunition than you could carry. I mean, these people are you know, anywhere from 2 to 20 feet away. It's a terrible, terrible thought. So, all right, 007, I appreciate that. That would be good. And we do have several teachers coming that are bringing their spouses. The spouses are not free. We're already giving the teachers a free class. But what you can look at it as a 2 for the price of 1 is what it amounts to. So these teachers that are bringing spouses, I'm glad to hear it. You know, God bless them. And just so you'll know, 007, the training that you get here and all the paperwork and everything is for an Arizona permit. However, Arizona is still recognized by New Mexico for those New Mexico people that are coming. And even if it weren't, Arizona is recognized in 30-some-odd other states. So definitely a good one to have. You can let them know if there's any teachers, if that's a question. And it was with this other group that's coming. Their most popular question of all of them were, am I going to be able to go, you know, drive all this way over there and do all that, even if it's free? Am I going to be able to carry in New Mexico? Well, the answer is yes. For the time being, the law has not changed, and Arizona is just as good in New Mexico as New Mexico's is. All right, let's see where we're at here. We've got numerous other things. Let me get them lined up here. You can do either one, 007, the Schatz Ranch number. I get that forwarded to me for now. Or you can give her cope@schatzranch.com, and we'll take care of her. All right. Let's look. Let's talk a little bit about this immigration thing. I was supposed to talk about this last night. Had some people all geared up there. Had their chewing tobacco in the spit can, sitting around the wood stove, and a big jar of a mason jar full of sweet tea, getting ready to listen to this. And I blew it for them because I was still on the road. So we're going to talk about immigration just a little bit. Now, one of the biggest things that has just came here recently was the Supreme Court. Well, this was a month or so ago. The last biggest blow was the Supreme Court has said that they will not hear Arizona's appeal over immigration laws. The immigration law, the harboring ban. What's happening right now, as we sprechen here tonight, is that Mexicans are, and, well, I shouldn't say that, not just Mexicans. There's some Middle Easterners and some others, but illegal aliens, foreign nationals, invaders of the United States, are coming across the border in Texas in record numbers. Brownsville area down there, south, way deep south Texas, is being overrun. There's a lot of stuff going on down there right now. We've been contacted by several people and a couple of groups down there. They're asking for reinforcements. They're setting up staging areas down there, and things could get very lively down there. So with that being said, as the Border Patrol is picking them up, giving them to, I guess, DHS are the ones that are bringing them to Arizona and dropping them off. Yeah, you heard right. They're sending the Texas illegals to Arizona and dropping them off. I don't know what in the hell is going on here. Part of my stance on this is not very popular. There was a time when the government and the militia coexisted peacefully, and the militia was doing what the militia has every intention of doing today, and that is to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. We would like to do that hand in hand in conjunction with our state and federal governments. Stand by just a second here. I'll be right back. All right, I'm back. Sorry about that. There was a time when someone from another country stepped across the border into ours, it was called an invasion, illegal entry. And many times it resulted in the use of lethal force. And sometimes those people didn't get to go back to their other country.
It's the water heater right here.
Oh, it's air, then it's about to quit. So, yeah, we heard a noise there and just determined what it was. So. My unpopular part of this is I still believe that way. I still believe that when foreign nationals come into your country uninvited, en masse, what do you do? At this point, there is no interaction of any kind from the authorities. You can call, you can complain, you can capture them, you can turn them over to the Border Patrol. What happens? They're turning them loose. Right now, they're turning them loose in our country. There is a, we talked about this 4 or 5 years ago, whenever it was, there is a sign in southern Arizona that is 80 miles from the border. And it tells me that I shouldn't go down there because it's too dangerous? Why don't we have signs facing the other way telling them it's too damn dangerous to come in there and that they shouldn't come? That sign should be turned around and set at the border, and we should have them run from the tip of Texas to the bottom of California with signs that say, you might get your ass shot if you go past this sign. There are armed militia watching our border. They will shoot you and kill you if you invade their country. Period. Now, I've said several times, if I was in charge of this goat roping here, I would get me a couple of little airplanes, and we'd print up a whole damn bunch of those, of flyers written in four languages, and we'd get up here and cover every inch of that border with these flyers in 36 hours. Your crossing the border will be met with lethal force. Men, women, and children. I don't care who you are. If you don't want to be shot, don't cross the border. If you don't want your kids shot, don't send them across the fence. Countries have done that since the dawn of time, since countries were established and in these imaginary lines created. This is what has happened. It's happened in Germany. It's happened in Russia. It's happened in every damn where there is except here. It's not the most popular stance. Don't misunderstand me. Don't put words in my mouth. I do not wish in any manner to see anybody injured, particularly women and children. Maybe the combatants, the adults, maybe we'd be able to gather the kids up and fly them over Mexico City and put parachutes on them and drop them all out. I don't know. But they can't stay here. We need to discourage them. We need to make it less desirable for them to come here. And if you get shot, that's less desirable. If I think that I'm going to be shot for going somewhere, I'm probably not going to go. If I do, I'm going to be real careful. Obviously, we can't. It'll probably never be acceptable, nor would it probably be right to shoot non-combatants coming over the fence. But adult males that are with these people, you take the rest of them, you gather them up, you can put them on a barge and teach one of them how to drive it and say, go to Mexico, or you can, or you know, whatever in the hell, I don't care what you do, but they can't stay here. Let's see. Reading what Doc's shooting here. When I see all these cool to steal, I suffer no delusions as to what they're worth against modern advanced military weapons. I understand what you're saying, Doc. I don't know what, the Afghans held the Russians off for 10 years with weapons that they were making in the alleys of some of these towns over there. And I think that when, of course, they were much more experienced and more driven than I think most of the people here are going to be. I don't think we're going to see that level of ferocity and ingenuity in the beginning of the festivities here. I think that it's going to be a little while coming before that, not that there are not people capable of it, but I think that those people have been in that for so long that it was more of a is more common for them. When the shock, it's going to take a while for the shock to wear off over here. When that happens, when they finally look up and say, "Wow, it really is happening here," and it's going to take a little bit for the average person to get their poop in a group and be able to even remotely stand what the Afghans have done, what the Viet Cong have done. And we're not going to see that here for a while. But I've addressed my opinion before of some of the things that may happen here. Quite naturally, we're not going to hold off gunships with chain guns and artillery and all that. But I think there will be a couple of things that could happen. One of those is that, and this is maybe a long shot, but I still think it's a possibility, and even then, probably not in the beginning. I do think that the Lord is on our side. And I think that when the time is right, that there'll be a CME, or something that's going to shut down a whole lot of their navigational stuff, their weapon systems, and vehicles, and kind of begin to put us a little bit more of an even keel than what they are now. The same could be said for Doc. I know you're familiar with the old Liberator pistol. The French didn't have a chance, but they took that Liberator pistol and found one sentry out there somewhere that was willing to reach in his pocket for a cigarette for one of the French resistance fighters, and boom, all of a sudden this guy has an 8mm Mauser and possibly a handgun, a little bit of ammo, and somebody else is doing it across town. And then pretty soon we wind up with a truck full of stuff, and then we wind up with other equipment. And I think, and like I said in my one of my sound bites there, is that we were trained by the same people that trained them. We know how to operate some of their helicopters and some of their artillery and some of their vehicles and some of their weapon systems. We just have to get our hands on them. It ain't going to be that we're just going to walk up there and say, "Hey, I'm going to take that Cobra for a spin. Do you mind?" No, we're going to have to take it. And it ain't going to be easy, and it's not going to be romantic, and I have no misconceptions that this is going to be anything like Hogan's Heroes here or something. But I still think that it's possible, and I know that the Lord is on our side. And whatever it takes to help us to get to that point, I think that it will be dropped in our lap when the time comes. It's not going to be given to us. We're going to have to fight for it. There's, let's see, are we getting just about break time here? So I don't have any idea what actually will happen here. But I do know that whatever it is, that we're either going to find the testicular fortitude to join in, fight, and do the best we can, whatever the odds, or we're not. We're going to roll over and lose big time right off the bat. So I'm hoping that that's not what happens. But for those of us that train and work at this, hopefully we'll have half a chance of getting through it. Let's see. Let me look at something here real quick. All right. Yeah. I was looking at the Liberator pistols here, made from 1942 to 1945, and that's exactly what they were used for. Is there? They were kind of a pitiful little thing, ugly, stamped part, single shot, no extractor or ejector. They come with a little wooden dowel that you knock the empty shell out of the barrel, and there was I don't remember what there was. There was 2, 3, 4 extra rounds in the grip of this gun. At the time, in 1942, they cost $2.10 to make. And these were dropped into some of the into occupied territories there for use by insurgents, which at the time were French resistance fighters, and they used these to acquire bigger and better weapons. And while I don't believe that my AK is any match for a minigun, I do believe that enough people with AKs that have the mindset, the testicular fortitude to attempt it, can start working on getting things that will even the odds a little bit against whatever enemy that we may come up against. It's not anything that we're going to win in, you know, overnight. Most of us may not even live to see the end of it, to tell you the truth. But we'll see what happens. It's an ugly thing to think about, but I think it's time that we start thinking about it. And speaking of time, it's also time to take a break. So let's do that. And we'll be back here in a minute.
I just hate stupid people.
Tune in to The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern on Just Measures Radio. Don't miss it. Join Cope for 2 full hours of political incorrectness, current events, gun talk, and so much more.
My name is John Q. Public, and I am a member in good standing of an organization called America, and I have a message for those agencies and agents that work under the auspices of the Department of Justice. You have called me many things in the past, rebel, right-wing extremist, domestic terrorist, to name a few, but that is not important. What I'm about to tell you is... There must be accountability in all things, sooner or later. When you sin, however big or small, you will be held accountable, either in this life or the next. When you invade people's privacy, violate their rights, steal property, break up families, and hurt people, the time is fast approaching that you will be held accountable both in this life and the next. You and I took the same oath, administered by the same people. We both swore to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Some of you actually feel that you honor that oath, but you violate it each time you force a young girl to her bedroom floor in nothing but her underwear and hold her there at gunpoint. Or when you shoot or stomp a family pet to death, or shoot a young boy down in cold blood in the mountains of Idaho, or incinerate over 70 innocent people in a church in Texas. Warriors, indeed. How dare you call me a domestic terrorist? I go to work every day, sometimes at two jobs to make ends meet. I attend church every Sunday that I'm not working. As difficult as it is, I try to make time each day for my kids. I teach them about the Constitution and the Golden Rule. I have extra food and supplies to help myself and others through hard times. I try as hard as I can to obey the ever-increasing number of laws that are forced upon us, and I pay my fair share of taxes. I have a gun to protect myself and my family against those who would do us harm. I shouldn't have to use it to protect us against you. In fact, your organization is not even authorized by the Constitution and shouldn't be here, but since you are here, let's talk about your job description and performance. We have common enemies, you and I, that we should be united in fighting. The Founding Fathers never intended for us to fight each other. We should be as one. The current us-against-them attitude should never have been allowed to rear its ugly head. Division is unhealthy for the country. You will undoubtedly conduct more unconstitutional invasions of homes and businesses, and more innocent people will be injured or killed. A dairy in Pennsylvania, a rabbit grower in Kansas, a gun shop in New Mexico. It may even be me and my family. But let me make one thing abundantly clear. We, the people, have grown weary of living in fear. We're tired of being treated like animals. If you continue to follow the path that you are on, the time may come when you will not find us waiting to be descended upon when we least expect it. We may come to you. We outnumber you 1,000 to 1, and the same people that trained you trained many of us. We, the people, are becoming aware of those numbers. One day, you will launch one of your cowardly sneak attacks on an unsuspecting young family in Idaho, and instead of your brave sniper finding a defenseless, unarmed woman holding a baby in her arms, he may find that the tables have been turned. One day, instead of terrorizing and destroying another American family in retribution for a trivial infraction of an unconstitutional law, instead of shooting down defenseless children or young veterans that are trying only to live the American dream, you may find patriots waiting for you that have been pushed to their limit. One day, you will find that you have awakened a sleeping giant, and we the people will indeed hold you accountable for your evil deeds. Hundreds of men, women, and children have died at your hand because of poor information, no information, or just plain overzealous, out-of-control power freaks on an adrenaline high that have no regard for human life. Agents that think their badge is a license to kill with impunity. The difference between you and us is that we will not harm your family as long as they stay out of the fight. I don't want your family to go through what you have put many of ours through. Yes, they will be sad if you don't come home, but when the grieving is over, they will come to understand that you simply chose the wrong side. You see, this is nothing more than a conflict between good and evil. It's that simple, but this is not how it is supposed to be. This is not the America that the Founding Fathers entrusted us with. I implore each of you, before you go to work tomorrow, to take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror and see if you truly like what you see. If you can look at yourself and be proud of what you've done, or what you may be called upon to do, or more importantly, if you feel that you can walk uprightly before God and look Him in the eye and feel justified in what you have done, then we have nothing further to discuss. But some of you are not really jackbooted thugs. Some of you are simply misguided and feel that you really are doing the right thing. To you, I say, please, follow your conscience, do what you know in your heart is right, for we the people will hold you accountable.
Hurricanes, tornadoes, western firestorms, earthquakes, financial collapse, government upheaval. What happens when Walgreens closes? Whom do you turn to? You turn to Cat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, on the Medi-Chat and learn how combat medicine and alternative herbal remedies can help keep you going. No matter what, the Medi-Chat live 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell. And there's fire on the mountain, lying in the air. Rolling them hills, that is waiting for me there.
All right, we're back here. We've got a little bit more to try to finish up here. I'm kind of getting rid of a bunch of my old archives up here. I'm going to get some fresh stuff on there for you tonight and tomorrow. I'll get some new stuff for me and Amy both up there on the chat room for on the archive for you. Another, and maybe I'm incorrect in thinking this, but I think that at least 30%, and I hope as high as 60%, of law enforcement and military will be on our side. When and if that happens, a lot of equipment will come on our side too. Like I said, a lot of us already know how to operate a whole bunch of that stuff, so all we got to do is get to it. So, you know, it's anybody's guess what actually is going to happen during these very troublesome and turbulent times. So we'll see what happens here. I have a deal, and this is going to take up more time than I wanted to take. It may not take any if I can't find it here. I just had it up here. Stay with me a minute. There it is. Okay. All right. I like this old gal pretty good. It's Judge Jeanine. She's pretty awesome. She's got about a few minutes worth of stuff here. She wants to talk to you about this fiasco of this Bergdahl guy being traded for 5 known terrorists, which still pisses me off till I can't see straight. But Judge Jeanine pretty well nailed it here, so check this out.
Hello and welcome to Justice. I'm Judge Jeanine Pirro. Thanks for being with us tonight. There is a sacred trust between a country and its leader, between a president and the people he leads. When a leader violates that trust, the people from whom he derives his power have the inalienable right to remove him. You may agree or disagree with what I'm about to say. It's not meant to be political. Whatever the context, when you let things slide one after another, the foundation deteriorates. Even water sliding down a rock begins to wear at it and break it down. And like that rock, our very existence is in jeopardy. Barack Obama has put us in that jeopardy yet again. The latest, exchanging a man whose own platoon soldiers call a deserter who voluntarily left his unit during combat, in itself a death-eligible crime, for 5 of the worst Taliban terrorists in Gitmo. Obama sends out old faithful Susan Rice to say this of Bo Bergdahl.
He served the United States with honor and distinction.
Really? Even the White House had to re-spin that. Now, Susan, isn't English your first language? Weren't you briefed on what to say? And not for nothing, don't you know that those Sunday morning talk shows are a danger zone for you? But then again, that despicable video lie got you moved up to National Security Advisor. And ironically, the reason for the trade?
What we did was ensure that, as always, the United States doesn't leave a man or a woman on the battlefield.
Pray tell, Susan, is it okay to leave some behind? The trade surprised even Congress.
It comes with some surprise and dismay that the transfers went ahead with no consultation, totally not following the law.
And that's a Democrat. Enter our president.
We had a prisoner of war whose health had deteriorated, and we were deeply concerned about it, and we saw an opportunity, and we seized it. And I make no apologies for that.
But when key senators didn't buy the ill excuse, a new narrative emerged. The Taliban would kill Bergdahl if you followed U.S. law and told Congress. Seriously? Mr. President, my sources tell me that you knew Bergdahl's location for months. Why didn't you send in SEAL Team 6? It would have made another great photo op. Why didn't you send in those drones? Could it be, Mr. President, he was your excuse to release 5 Taliban terrorists from Gitmo? Those 5 men, the worst of the worst. Some wanted by the UN for mass murders, killing thousands, Al-Qaeda connected. These are the guys who behead their enemies, including children. They hate America and everything we stand for. And you release them, knowing many return to the battlefield because Arab country Qatar assured you that they do not pose a threat to us? And you're good with that? You buy it? You think 12 years in Gitmo has softened their resolve to kill us? Mr. President, you didn't just release them. You unleashed them. And you alone, will be responsible for the hell that will be unleashed on us. You have teed us up for death and destruction. And don't give me this hogwash that they're prisoners of war who have to be freed when we leave Afghanistan. They are not prisoners of war. The Taliban is not a country. They are enemy combatants who can be held indefinitely and should have been tried for their crimes. And as much as you want to take terms like Islamic extremist and jihad out of our lexicon, the war on terror is far from over. You didn't have to release them. And I don't give a damn whether you try them at Gitmo, in a military tribunal, or in a federal court. United States attorneys have prosecuted these dirtbags and convicted them time and again. Here's the bottom line. You negotiated with terrorists. You broke the very law that you signed. You have shown terrorists that they can win concessions by kidnapping Americans. In the history of this country, we have never traded mass murderers for a deserter. My father and grandfather fought in World War II. Ironically, you go to Normandy 70 years later, where my grandfather was injured, and make like you respect the military. You call yourself a commander-in-chief. But what commander-in-chief doesn't support a surge but sends in 40,000 troops anyway? What commander-in-chief reduces benefits to those in the military, closes the Veterans War Memorial, reduces the Army to pre-World War II levels, knowingly allows veterans to die in our hospitals while replenishing the enemy in a time of war? Mr. President, you are destroying this country. You have diminished us on the world stage. You have trampled on the very laws that you swore to uphold. You are not a true commander-in-chief. We've impeached a president for lying about sex with an intern. Your actions, far more egregious, demand impeachment.
Well, there you go. I think I love that woman now. She laid it online. I really like what she's got to say there. I'm going to play that for Amy later. I hope she's able to listen to that. But you can see that people are getting frustrated. People are saying things on the news now that I don't think would have been said just a few years ago. I don't think that this little shooting that happened in Vegas the other day. Apparently, or maybe I should say allegedly, these people were kicked out of the Bundy operation up there. I don't know if they were or not. Either happened when I wasn't there or without a lot of fanfare. I didn't see it happen. I don't remember them, so I don't know anything about it. But it is entirely possible. But they said as they were doing this, they were disorganized. I think they were about half crazy anyway. But they said something to the effect of the revolution starts now or something along those lines. We're seeing more shootings, more attacks. I think we're going to see little things like this happen from sea to shining sea here, where people are saying the same types of things, where they're going to say, you know, this is, I knew a guy once that said, why should I go all the way there? We have feds here. And I'm afraid that I'm afraid that, you know, people are as nervous and frustrated and angry as people are getting, that things like that may start to happen. If it does, it's only going to take a few days before the hell will be unleashed on us, and it's not going to be a pretty picture. Palm Bay, no, I don't think, let me check, I don't think she is, I think she's on Fox. She's not on Fox. She's not on CNN. And BB Burner, you are absolutely right. I couldn't agree more. But let me scroll down through here and see what's going on. Doc, in your dreams, buddy. I wish I was having the same ones. No. Let's see. Let me go down through the chat list here and see what's happening. Sweet Pea woke up. Glad to see you in here. Thanks for joining us for a little bit. Hope you're doing well. Okay. The this shooting that happened here, I've got to weigh in a little bit, and I hate to do this because I wasn't there, and I don't want anybody to think anything other than this is just a speculation. And I told you all the story. Me and Amy were in California two or three times ago when we went. We stopped at a very nice place, just the two of us, and it was kind of a steakhouse type deal, as I remember right. Wasn't a whole lot of people in it, and I saw a cop car in the... matter of fact, I may have just told this story the other day. Maybe I don't need to go through the whole thing now that I think about it. But long story short, the cop was sitting inside there, had his back to us. The room that we were in was maybe 20, 25 feet wide. He was the only one in that area, sitting his back to us about four booths from the... it's probably 30 feet inside the door, back to us. The door squeaked. Little bell on it rang. Door closed. He never turned around and looked. Not once. Didn't pay any attention. He had no mirrors. He had nothing. He was paying attention to his laptop. And never knew we were there. Now, whether these two guys were that unaware or not, I have no idea. I did hear that one of them was getting a soft drink out of the machine when he was whacked. And it's most unfortunate, but these guys seem like they were the bad guys here seem like they were dedicated, sure of themselves, didn't care, had nothing to lose, and just went for it. And my personal opinion is that we are extremely fortunate that they didn't do this somewhere else and get a whole lot more. And Their exact words, according to the news, is this is a revolution. Well, I don't know about all that, but anyway. Now, they apparently, the first I heard there was a woman, CCW carrier, that was killed. But it turns out, at least according to this story, there was a man, a male CCW holder, with a gun in Walmart nearby there. And it was another one of those deals where I have to guess, maybe, that training was an issue here. And I hope that this, we can make people see this. Matter of fact, we're offering people this CCW class that we come up on, have on the 21st of this month. Not only are we offering the class for free, we are the very next day offering Personal Defense Handgun 1 for 20% off. So what I'm hoping is that some of these teachers get in there and say, hey, man, there is more to this than I thought. I think I'm going to stay over another day and take this other class. School's out. Hopefully most of them have got, taken a little time off where they don't have to be back to work Monday. And after those two classes, I feel pretty good that these people will have something to, a foundation on which to build their training portfolio on here. Hopefully they'll see the benefit of it and continue on. But you don't see too many scenarios here where a CCW holder gets involved with a situation like this. However, most of the time that you do, we find that the situation was brought to a halt, and the remaining people, got to go home or to jail, as the case may be. The case in Tucson with Gabby Gifford shooting, that guy chose not to engage. I don't know how he lives with himself. This person here this last week, I think probably there was a training or a hesitation issue there. Can't say for sure. Wasn't there. But we do hear about them being successful. Matter of fact, I was going to talk about Tom Givens' record here, but we just talked about that last Friday, so we don't need to go over that again. Well, anyway, I hope that you've gotten some benefit out of this show tonight, and I'd like to offer all of you, if you are a public school, or even if you're not, anybody, come out and take. I think you'll find that our concealed weapons class is very much superior to the average concealed weapons class out there. We go over things and do things and talk about things and show you things that most people do not do. So hopefully we'll then we'll have the Personal Defense Handgun 1 class the following day. The reloading class on the Friday before that, it's probably not going to happen. I don't know if we have anybody signed up for that yet or not. We'll have to check. But I don't know that that one is going to happen. So, we'll see. All right. I have Infidel 007. Hopefully we'll see you guys up there 4th of July. Going to have a little shindig going on. And ought to be a heck of a lot of fun. So, with all that being said, I think what I need to do is quit babbling and get on out of here and go see what the dogs are barking about. We'll see y'all in the morning for Amy's show. Good night.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.